tragedy. Our parsha is no less than a terrible tragedy. Klal Yisrael poised to go into the promised land. Great men were sent to scout out things, figure out battle plans, how to be kovish d'aretz, how to proceed. And then it all goes south. Devastation, 40 years of wandering. A cry of generations, the antecedents of so many of the calamities that have befell the Jewish people in our very long, seemingly never-ending journey. Of course, there were the big mistakes, what really went wrong. But I'd like to discuss along the way some of the blunders, some of the mistakes in the thinking, and then at the end we're going to try to hit a big point also. The Meraglim, the spies, come and tender their report. Eretz Yisrael, they say, is it Eretz Ocheles Yoshva? It's a land which eats and inhabits. Eretz Ocheles Yoshva. What does that mean? Sounds like a cheap lie. Eretz Ocheles Yoshva eats its inhabitants. So Rashi explains that when they came, they saw people dying. B'chol makam shavarnu, everywhere we went, matzanim kovri mesim, everywhere there's a levaya. The Ram calls going out with that guy with that deep voice. Everywhere they went, people are dying. It's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshva. Bad air, too hot. Something's very wrong here in this land. It's not a place for us. People dying. But Rashi continues. Vadekadosh Baruch Hu Asa L'tova. But God made this special hashkacha, and he entered this into the scene right at that point, kedei letordam be'avelim, in order to involve the inhabitants in the land in their sufferings, v'lo yinu leiv leila, so they shouldn't pay attention to them. So people were dying, true. Eretz Ocheles Yoshva. But you missed the whole point. Why were people dying? Hashem designed and created that people would die in order that they would be distracted and not pay attention to these spies amongst them. They totally misread the situation. Hashem was doing a tremendous chesed for them, killing people for their sake. But they misread it. What we need to understand here, this is a mistake we could all make very easily. It's easy to look at the Meraglim and the other mistakes in Chumash and make fun of them or miss the point. Who is Esav? Who is this? Why is the Torah writing all these things? The Torah is writing lessons for us, things we have to learn from. We have to look deeper. And how does this apply to us? You know, there's one question which we have to really think about and focus. In certain ways, one of the most important questions, maybe the most important question a person has to ask. Do we believe there's a loving creator who sets up our lives in the best way possible for us or not? Do we buy that? Do we believe it? Habotech b'Hashem chesed yisov v'venu. The Pasuk can tell us someone who trusts in God. Habotech b'Hashem chesed yisov v'venu. Chesed surrounds him. For the one who trusts in God. How does that work? So the two pshatim I always like to say. Habotech b'Hashem chesed yisov v'venu, one who trusts in God, chesed surrounds him, because the bitachon itself, the belief in Hashem, causes you to get chesed. It's an active catalyst. Bitachon causes chesed. So therefore, someone who has bitachon, someone who trusts, causes chesed. So chesed is all around him. But on a simpler level, we can understand the pasuk like this. Someone who has trust will see the chesed. The chesed is there. Not that you're causing it through the bitachon. It's there. But if you don't have bitachon, if you don't have trust in God, you won't see it. Just like the Meraglim didn't see it. People are dying. It's a bad land. No, people are dying. It's a land of Ashkacha. It's a land where Hashem takes care of you. Someone who trusts in Hashem, he'll see the chesed. He'll see it surrounding him. How small do you mean? How do we react when we get sick, lose money, don't get the job we want? This is a deep philosophical issue here. This is Tzadik V'Ralo. Why do the righteous suffer? How can I not be getting what everything I want in life? Tzadik V'Ralo, the righteous suffer. But Rabosa, if you look deeper, there's love there. Difficulties we know are opportunities. Let's talk about three types of opportunities that our difficulties in life present us with. One, and this sounds almost like a foreign concept today when we say it, when someone is difficult and you have to be over to Hashem, you have to serve God, even the difficulties, it's a way of showing your love for God. The difficulty presents me with an opportunity. I can now show that I really care about this. That's something real to me. I'm not just a fair-weathered friend. You know, we don't live in such an age, but people used to live like that. They were ready to die for a cause and show how much they loved something and show that it meant everything to them. I just finished Menachem Begin. for Prime Minister's wonderful book on, it's called The Revolt, on when he was the commander of the Irgun, which was the major underground pre-state organization, which did all types of interesting things. And he says the Irgun fighters, one after the other, were ready to give their lives for what they believed in. And many of them went proudly and happily to the British gallows, because that's what they live for. It's a sign. So too, when a person keeps the mitzvahs when they're difficult, when it's not so simple, so it's a way of showing love for Hashem. I just want to illustrate this point with a question. Alter Kelm asked a question, we're not going to deal with the answer to the question, but I want to show you the question he asks. He says, why pray, why daven when you have a difficulty? What's the assumption of the tefillah? I want to remove the situation. But the Alter says, for the Oved Amiti, for the true worshiper of God, he's happy with the situation. So I have some difficulty, now I can show my love for God. So why should I pray? So that's opportunity number one. When we're down, when things are difficult, as opposed to saying right away that it's a philosophical question, how could God do such a thing to us? Think, I have an opportunity now to show what I'm really built for, what I'm really made of, what metal I have. Two, another opportunity, mitzvahs done with difficulty are worth a lot more. Lefum tzar agra, according to the suffering, so the reward. Echa b'tzar, chazal tell shav mei shav lo b'tzar. A same mitzvah, you do it with a difficulty. I put in my tefillin with a headache, it's a little difficult for me to get up in the morning to make it on time for Shacharis. That little difficulty, even a little difficulty, makes it worth 100 times more. By the way, I always like to say, if you do it on Shabbos, it's worth another 613 times more, because the Holy Chavetz Chaim tells us every mitzvah on Shabbos is worth 613 times a mitzvah during the week. So really, we're a little mixed up how we spend Shabbos. We spend Shabbos like down, the week up. Really, we should get up for Shabbos because our mitzvahs are worth a lot more on Shabbos. Chavetz Chaim said 613 times more. So now if you have a headache on Shabbos and you learn, now what if you add a little joy to it? Huh? So the Orcha Sadikim tells us, Misha osa mitzvahs besimcha, shav elef yodas, misha osa otam kemasa me'elef. If you do a mitzvah with joy, it's worth 1,000 times more. Now can you have joy and suffering together? For sure. The practicality is I have a headache, but I'm happy to be able to learn. This is 100 times 1,000. You do that on Shabbos, 613 times. Shabbat Torah is really worth more than that. It's a good deal. Okay, but going back to the basic point, Rav Osai, when we have difficulties, everything we do is worth more. More reward, more Olam Haba, more of all of that. A third point, a third opportunity, is we have to understand that when we suffer, we could be removing deeper tzaras from ourselves, right? Everybody knows stories like that. Someone, this thing happened to him, and then that thing didn't happen to him. We don't always see it, but that's how things work. Rav Tzvi Meyer, the great tzaddik, one of the great tzaddikim of our generation, says, you know, it could be sometimes there's a big boulder of tzara which is supposed to hit us. God forbid. Yeah, make us into a pancake. And as opposed to that, Hashem breaks it up into little pebbles. And lots of little pebbles. So the little pebbles sting, but it's a lot better than being a waffle. You know, I hope that the Tzibur, the Olam learning Das Tfun, is starting to get a sense of these things. One of the most important things Rabbeinu Ramchal teaches us in Derech Hashem and Das Tfun is to see the width of the Hashkacha, how far things go. It's in a wondrous world we live in. So, and there's another level to this idea of seeing Hashkacha in our life, of appreciating what Hashem's saying, not making the misread that the Meraglim did. All the way back in Parshas Vayigash, Pasuk says Vayigash, right at the beginning, all the way back in Parshas Vayigash, Elav Yehuda. Yehuda drew to Yosef. Yehuda came close to Yosef. Yosef was the viceroy, Yehuda was the brother, and he came close to him. And what was the end of that whole discussion? V'lo yochol Yosef l'sapik l'chol nitzavim l'elav. Yosef couldn't hold back anymore, and he revealed that he was Yosef. They thought he was just an Egyptian viceroy, and then in the end, that's what happened. So what's going on? So on a Hasidic level, Rabbeinu Svasemis explains like this. We're not just talking about people, we're talking about kochot, about spiritual powers. Yehuda represents hodah, the idea of thanking, the idea of what we're talking, to see Hashem in everything we do. Yosef represents the panemius of things, the inner world, the inner reality. Okay, we'll go with that. V'yigash elav Yehuda. When a person has hodah, you get into the panemius of things. Meaning, I see a situation looks difficult, but I try to look forward. It's not people dying, it's a chesed here. It's not just a broken leg, it's opportunity. When a person does that, v'yigash shelav Yehuda, you go straight to the panemius. You go straight into the inner world of what's happening. I see that there's chesed inside. I don't just get stuck in the outside world. The hodah, the koch hodah, the koch of acceptance and seeing and realizing that loving God is running my life and setting things up for me. Sometimes things I understand, sometimes things I don't understand. That koch, biga shalav Yehuda, that hagasha, through the koch of hodah, the koch of thanking, you go straight to Yosef, you go straight into the panemius. And then what happens? And then the panemius comes out. V'lo yochel Yosef l'sapik l'chol anitzavim alav. When a person sees that, then the real chesed inside, the chesed which was covered up by difficulties, comes out. So it has a power, like we said at the beginning, about Boketech b'Hashem chesed Yisov v'venu, through the koch habitachon, through the koch hodah, so we open things up to real chesed, to real things that feel good even, not just because of our belief. So Rabbi Hussein, until now we've been talking about appreciating the good and what seems bad. It looked bad that people were dying. Well, it's ultimately extremely good for them. But the truth is we have to take a step back, I think, today and appreciate the good and what's good. We've forgotten to forget, sometimes we forget to appreciate the good and what's good, not just the good and what's bad. We've got to appreciate the good and what's good. In Silas Hasharim, in Perek Ches, I'm going to read this to you. He says, what gets a person to be zariz? What gets a person to wake himself up in avodat Hashem and to be excited and act with alacrity and love? Who is stakless barovatov? This person has to look into. His staklut. Person has to delve into, decide, look, determine barovatov and all the good things Hashem does. Shekadosh Baruch Hu osem adam. B'chol eis b'chol shah. The beautiful things that God does for us all the time. The wondrous great things that he does for us in the time we're born. Being born was a great thing. Anybody rather not be born here? No, right? That was a great thing. The more one looks into this and thinks about it, how much has Hashem done for me? How much does he do for me? A person feels obliged. I'm obligated to God. By the way, that's one of the reasons we don't like to thank people in general. We don't want to feel obligated. You ever really feel obligated to someone? I don't mean the thank you, like the people say thank you today. To really feel obligated to, there are a few people in my life I really feel obligated to. It doesn't feel good. It means I have to listen to them a little bit. Can't just say no when they ask me to go somewhere. I'm obligated. It's not a great feeling. That's a sense of obligation. So by seeing the good, all the good Hashem does, we feel obligation. From there, our whole Avodas Hashem comes out of it, and we feel Zariz, and we're excited. I want to at least do this. What can I, Mashal, Malah, Shiv, Hashem, Kol, Tagmul, Ayolai? What can I do for God? At least a little bit. At least I'll listen to Him. V'nei ein lecha adam beizem atzav shiyimtza. There's no person in any situation, ani, im asher, if he's poor, if he's rich, im bari, im chol, if he's well, if he's not well. Shlo yir neflos v'tos rabos matzav, whatever situation a live person is in, there are wondrous things happening all around. Ki ashir ba'bari. If you're wealthy and healthy, so he's chayev for that. But the ani is chayev, because even as an ani, at least he has some level of parnas, he's eating. Derech neitzu palavena menichal amud barav, he's not dying. Hachola, at least he's alive, being sick. Right? Everything's better than the other situation. Any person who lives mistakel, anybody person who really looks into it, has to feel himself obliged to God. And through that, that's a way of Seals Hashem, the great Madrich, our great guide in Avodas Hashem, tells us that's what's going to get a person excited for Avodas Hashem. That's what's going to get a person involved. But also, you know, we live in a generation that is very, very far from this. The Gemara and Sota tells us that a chutzpah yazgi. How do we translate chutzpah? Everybody knows what chutzpah is, huh? It's an English word also today. But a chutzpah yazi, chutzpah gets greater and greater. Part of the chutzpah is the sense of entitlement. We live in an incredibly entitled world. All of us. Put myself in that cloud. The world has a great sense of entitlement. Everything is coming to me. So now when I deserve everything, then why should I be thankful for anything? So to get our head around this, we have to like somehow let go of this sense of entitlement. I get everything. Of course I'm alive. Why should I be ill? Of course I get whatever I eat. Of course I'm healthy. Of course I have all the clothes. Of course I have all the money I have. And then it's such a question when anything goes not the way we want it to go. The key word, like the Mesilas Sharma, is stockless. To look into. Stockless. When a person looks into it, you have to think about it. You have to question. You have to wonder. You have to decide. The Meraglim were mistakel deep enough. On the outside, it looked bad. People are dying. But look deeper into it. Could there be something good in this? And then the good things that you're getting, could it be someone's behind it? Could you have a different life? None of us had to end up where we ended up. There are still thousands and millions of great things that happen along the way to get us to here. A friend of my Rebbe's was once speaking to the Gadol HaDor of Shach, Rosh Yeshiva Ponovitch, and in the middle of their conversation, Rosh Shach said, Barov Espilus, he said, Ribono Shel Olam, God, Aliyorn, all the years, you've been so zis sumer, you've been so sweet to me, so tov sumer, so good to me, said in Yiddish. God, you've always been so good to me. This is Rosh Shach, which is out of, in the middle of a regular conversation about something else. This is what was on his head. God's been so sweet to him, so good to him. And by the way, anybody knows about Rosh Shach's personal life knows he had many, many, many tzaras. Can't go into them right now, but many. Well, of a significant and very great level. He had a 16, 17-year-old daughter that died. He used to have a picture next to his bed of this daughter that died in Europe already, a 17, 18-year-old. Many, many other difficulties. But he saw it was mistakel, and he saw that something more. Kerbal said, that was point number one to learn from the Meraglim. Not to make that mistake. Let's go to another point. As things were starting to rumble, and people were complaining, the righteous Kalev tried to calm them down, quiet them. Pasuk tells of Yahes Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. And Kalev quieted the nation to Moshe. Vayomer, and he said, Alon Ale, let's go up. We can inherit it. We're able to. So the interesting words in the Pasuk are these words, El Moshe. Listen again. Vayas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. And he quieted them to Moses. What does it mean to quiet someone to Moshe? Ever hear the question? What do you mean to quiet to him? I quieted the Am to him so Moshe could speak. What does it mean? So the Meshech Chachma says a fascinating pshat. What it means, El Moshe, means he quieted them about Moshe. He quieted them about the topic of Moshe. He quieted them about the way they were looking at Moshe. See, in last week's parsha, there was an overflow of nevuah, of prophecy. And Eldad and Medad were misnaba, and they said, you know what? We see b'nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, which was the truth. That was a true nevuah. And Moshe, when this was said, never said it's not true. So what happened? As this whole story is breaking, and they're hearing about Eretz Ochelet Yoshva, and all the other unnecessary, not good things that the Meraglim, the spies, were saying, they're all thinking about the fact that Moshe is not going to be with them when they get to Eretz Yisrael. And they're thinking, without Moshe, there's no way we can do this. We can't do this without the leader. All of our wonders because of him. He was the one who did everything for us. So listen to how the Meshech Chachma says this. Ki ad rabbi gedulas Moshe toli bechem. What Kalev saw Dibra says, the greatness of Moshe is dependent on you. When Hashem was angry at Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get nevuah in the later years. L'chein amar, that's what he means to say. Alo na le batzmenu below Moshe. We can go up, Kalev says. We don't need Moshe. We'll go without him. Kein Moshe siba etzal Hashem l'nhagin yisis. Hashem is not treating you wondrously because of Moshe. Rak ke'uma Yisrael es batzma. The Jewish nation, the Jewish people, our people. Hi ruhi l'shkach elokis pratis. We're fit on our own. So that's the pshat in the pasuk. V'yas kalev esam el Moshe, quieted them about their tlut, their dependence, their thinking that without Moshe they had no resource on their own. V'yomer, he said, we can go up on our own without him. Rabosai, I'm a big fan in the centrality of Gedolim. Okay, I just started sending out weekly videos about them. But we can never forget the power of the Jewish people. And so much that our great men of letters are zogah to is because they're leading us. And we always have to know, they're the heads of the Jewish people. We're the body of the Jewish people. We're really one. And we can't forget the schut of what it means to be a Yid, to be a member of this nation, who we're part of. Now let's connect the two points, the idea of seeing Hashgacha in our lives and seeing the greatness of Klal Yisrael. One of the greatest chasadim that all of us in this room have is that we're Jews and part of the chosen people. The greatest nation ever walked the face of this earth. Geniuses, movers, shakers, driven. You know, John Adams said that by the Jews bringing God into the world, second president of the United States, John Adams, Abigail's husband, by bringing Emunah and Hashem into the world, we brought absolute values into the world. And by absolute values into the world, we brought civilization to the world. The whole world is civilized because of us, because there are absolute values. Because where there are no absolute values, there is no real civilization. What civilization? Leaving babies on the top of the hills like the Greeks and the Romans in every ancient society? Is that civilized? Well, they had great ideas. They taught us trigonometry. Trigonometry and the girls getting eaten by a wolf. Absolute values. We're part of that. Okay, Rabosa, now let's just deal for a moment with the more central point in the downfall of the Meraglim. And now we'll end our little talk. Something we have to understand is the Meraglim were great men. They were called Anushim. Whenever the Tanakh used the word Anushim, means great people. In fact, at the beginning, some of them were greater than Yeshua, who was going to lead the whole Jewish people, and Kalev. Because Kalev was listed, I think, number 3 in the list. And Yeshua is listed number 5, I believe. And some of Farshim say it was listed in their importance. Amazing. These are amazing people. So what, at the end of the day, went wrong? So I'd like to share again from the Mesil Hisharm. Talks about Chemdes HaKabud, one who desires honor. A person can get over his love of money. That's a tough one. And other hanos, those are also tough ones. But honor pushes us. It's impossible for us to see. It's so hard for us to see ourselves less than our friends. Many were fell in this trap and were lost. He brings Yerovam ben Avat, and this is what happened with Korach, we'll see later on, and coming Parshas, and then he continues, who shigaram? That's what made. Lefidat Chazal Ela Meraglim Sheotzia Dibal Arts. Why, at the end of the day, what was pushing them, Rabosai? You know? What was the motor? What was the carburetor? What was the operating system inside which made them look so negatively? What was the mistake? Where was it coming from? Who shigarm lefidas chazal el meraglim sheotzia dibal arts v'garmu misa lehem l'chol doram? Honor was what pushed them and caused death for them and for the whole generation. Not one of these people that was alive then would make it into Eretz Yisrael. Only their children would come in 40 years later. Miyirasam, because they were fearful. Pen yimad kvodam b'knisas l'arts. You know, right now we have a secure position. We're on top. If we go into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a new election. There's going to be things are going to get shaken up. Things are going to get redecided. Where are we going to be? I don't know. So it's better to stay in the Midbar. Maybe someone else will be in charge. And I won't be in charge anymore. They won't be in charge anymore. Rabosai, I always like to say that it could be, it's not clear of the Mesil Hashar, but it could be they didn't even realize this. But it was a motor that was inside of them. That's called a negiah, proclivity, something which is making us see things in a not straight way. You say openly, this is what I say. You always have a taina. Listen to people in a machlokas. Unfortunately, I've very often been able to hear two sides of a machlokas. When you hear the two people describe the exact same things, you hear exactly two totally different stories. Why? It's a fact, I'm telling you, she said this. And it's a fact, he did this. And it's a fact, he did this. And it's a fact, he did this. It's facts. Why do you only steal those facts? How can you tell me about that fact? What about the fact he told me? What about the fact you threw a shampoo bottle at her? Oh, I didn't forget to say that. Well, that wasn't so important. Didn't hit her, you know. That's Negias, Rabosa, Negias. Inside. So it could be they didn't even realize why they're seeing things. But deep down inside of themselves, they weren't straight. They had a negia. What's going to be? Where are we going to be once we get to Israel? So that everything was mistaken and seen the right way. We'll say great men can fall. We need to know ourselves, and we need to know their ruinous powers, excuse me, inside each and every one of us. That's why we have to work on our midos, we have to work on our characteristics our whole life. There's no one past such things. No, we hear about great people who make terrible mistakes. What goes wrong? A person needs self-awareness. He needs to know about what honor can do to him. He needs to know what other things. And we have to be always thinking, what is pushing me? Why am I seeing things this way? Am I straight? There are problems. There's clarity. There's time to get divorced. There's time to make a machlokas. There's time to go to battle. But what is it? Is it just because I want to be in the front? That's the problem? Or is it truth that's running me? Deep, deep down. Bezrat Hashem, by thinking and try to learning some of the lessons of Meraglim, hopefully we can avoid the mistakes and finally get out of this desert.